Scripture for today from 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel from the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all Israel, and you saw it and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason?" Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of 2,400 branch churches all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Honduras, Peru, Argentina, Germany, France, Russia, Belgium, Netherlands, and African countries, including Kenya, Uganda, and Congo, and in China, Japan, Pakistan, Indonesia, Philippines, Taiwan, India, Mongolia, Egypt, and Korean branch churches, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and viewing audiences. This is the fourth session of goodness. This time, the message about Jonathan will be preached. In the fifth session, I will deliver the message about David. Jonathan was a son of Saul, the first king of Israel. He was expected to be the next king after Saul, but after God dethroned Saul, David was anointed as the real successor. There is only one successor, so in a physical sense, David and Jonathan were rivals. 1 Samuel 18:1 says, "After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself." Jonathan did not consider David as his enemy, but loved him as he loved himself. You know, though you have a very strong love compared to this, you know, love. You know, though Jonathan, he was expected to be the next king, but you know, David was anointed as the next king, but he loved David as himself. That was because Jonathan had enough goodness in his heart to discern the goodness of David. Like good ones can discern good ones. You know, for me, even for me, I'm really looking for good ones. Of course, you know, we have many good ones in our church. You know, I was looking for really, really good ones. Good ones, those who have a very good heart. I told my friends, even in seminary days, I never found. If I found one, I can love, even giving my life. You know, members in our church, you know, God is searching for these kind of good ones. Jonathan's goodness kept him from struggling for the throne and his own benefit and helped him to follow the will of God. David knew that he himself had been destined by God to sit on the throne after Saul. Because he had a good heart, he only acted to follow goodness so that the full will of God could be carried out by God himself. You know, David knew because he was anointed, but he never acted to become king according to his own thoughts. You know, though, you know, he was in front of Saul, who was trying to kill him, but he acted to follow goodness. Male members, please follow this good heart. When you run your business, you know, with this goodness, you can be successful. If you really have this true love and good heart, God definitely bless you. Even for me, I'm really searching for this good ones. You know, I ask secretary office to list which one you know is following in this kind of goodness. In next two sessions, I will deliver messages about the kind of goodness David and Jonathan had, and I hope you will be able to apply their goodness to your life. So I pray in the name of the Lord that all of you will be recognized by God with the following praise when he says, "You have truly sought after my heart." Dear brothers and sisters, David was a sheepherder, a common shepherd, but after he defeated the Philistine commander Goliath, during the war between Israel and the Philistines, he became a distinguished man in Israel. You know, when David was young, he defeated the commander Goliath. At first, Saul was pleased when David defeated Goliath and saved his kingdom. He made David a commander. But the problem arose when Saul and David triumphantly returned from the war. The women from all the towns of Israel received them singing, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." Saul got angry, very angry, and thought to himself, "They have credited David with tens of thousands, but me with only thousands. What more can he get?" Who is that? You know, from Chinese here, you know, the king really credited the man. His name is Zhou Guangzhou. No, this king, and entered the palace with Zhou. But you know, the people, they praised Zhou, not the king. So he was very upset. Then it became hatred this Zhou. So you know, put him imprisonment to death. Though you know he had a very good heart, so he was very faithful to his parents and the country, but you know he was put in prison to death because the king became jealous of him. You know, even and Lee Sun-sin, the general commander in our Korean history, this commander, he saved Korean country from the war. between Korea and Japan. You know, he's a grandfather. You know, though you know, he had a very, very good one, he was put in prison because of the king, evil king. That's why you know, his father and he himself as well, they could not get any royal position. You know, in the history, you know, we also this kind of things. You know, to have a very very good commander, you know, they have a lot of troublesome. And the king and the who became very jealous to Zhou. Oh, that is our Korean history. Not only this one case, but many cases. Even in Joseon Dynasty in our Korean history, so many cases. You know, when the king have jealousy to his commanders, normally, you know, the king put them in prison and put them away. And, you know, it repeated even in our history, like in Joseon Dynasty time and also, you know, another dynasty. Maybe he will take my kingdom. From that time, Saul hated David and kept a jealous watch on him. Later, still Saul suffered from the effects of an evil spirit. While David played the harp for him, Saul threw a spear to kill David. But by the hand of God, David was able to avoid Saul's assaults twice, but it only increased Saul's fear and jealousy of David. Saul sent David into a very fierce war and even sent his soldiers to David's house to kill him. When Jonathan saw his father, Saul was trying to kill the innocent David without reason, and he did not keep quiet about his father's sin. In 1 Samuel 19, chapter 19, verse 4 and 5, that's the scripture, Jonathan vindicated David and tried to persuade his father not to kill David. Let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all Israel, and you saw it and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason? If you were in Jonathan's shoes, whose side would you take, David or Saul? If you discern right and wrong, you should support David, but from a human viewpoint, Saul was Jonathan's father and the king of a country. With a human viewpoint, it is dishonoring his parents for Jonathan to disobey Saul and vindicate David. Worse still, as the heir to King Saul, Jonathan had to give up the throne because David was anointed as a successor to the throne by God. In a fleshly sense, David's death would be beneficial to Jonathan. However, Jonathan understood the will of God well. So Jonathan tried to tried his best to stop his father from disobeying God's will and committing a great sin by killing the innocent David. You know, even in our church, you know, those who acted in this way, they are blessed. When Saul first rejected Jonathan's advice, Jonathan did not give up at all. When Jonathan repeatedly petitioned to Saul not to kill David and vindicated David, Saul hated Jonathan and lost his temper. You know, though Saul is his father, you know, he got hot temper, so he may be killed as well. But in this, even in this situation, he petitioned repeatedly because, you know, Jonathan had very good heart. Jonathan had no fear of his father's anger. He asked, "Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason?" Meantime, Jonathan was nearly speared by his father Saul. Now, let's look into the goodness of Jonathan. First, he had the heart to follow God's will without any selfish desire. Jonathan knew his father Saul had already been abundant by God, and God willed David to be the next king. Jonathan had a successor right to the throne, but he accepted the will of God without consideration of his own desires. He encouraged David to accomplish God's will. John the Baptist realized that Jesus was the Savior. How did he feel when he saw his disciples following Jesus? He said in John, did he have any discomfort? No. He said in John 3:30, "He must become greater, I must become less." No, he really confessed from the bottom of his heart. When we readily abandon honor and fame for God's will to be fully accomplished, God deems it goodness. When it comes to the works of God, many believers and church workers say they hope that the will of God will be fully achieved and His kingdom be expanded. But in reality, most of them hesitate to sacrifice themselves and give up what they have. Suppose two departments do similar work. Department A has achieved a kind of job level with great efforts over a long period of time. Sometime later, Department B was made, and Department B could produce the same visible achievements only if it could utilize what Department A has already done. So Department B requested data, staff assistance, and technology support from Department A. In this situation, the director and staff of Department A should give what they have accomplished to Department B with joy. If they think, "We have put in all the effort to accomplish this, how is it that they can take it so easily from us?" If they feel it is somewhat wasteful to cooperate with Department B, they should look back on themselves. It proves that they say they have worked for the kingdom of God only as mere tools, but actually they have their own desires within themselves. Jonathan and John the Baptist had an attitude that they wanted to melt down like salt without leaving behind their own shape. For the will of God to be fully achieved, although they would not gain fame and honor. This is goodness in God's sight. If you fulfill your duty and dedicate yourself, with this kind of good attitude, even if your merits are not praised, God will never fail to remember it and reward it. Dear brothers and sisters, the second goodness we can find from Jonathan is that he did his best to stop his loved one from sinning. He did not fear going to his threatening father and prevent his father from sinning by petitioning repeatedly to dissuade Saul from killing David. That's because Jonathan loved his father from the heart, although Saul was weak. Jonathan tried to persuade his father again and again not to commit greater sins, even though his father would hate him, and Jonathan would also come under distress from his father. Ancient lawyers, servants who loved their king from the heart, did not hesitate to give sound advice to the king about his wrongdoings, even if it meant their death. However, false servants pondered over what they should speak and do for their own benefits and comforts rather than trying to help the king go the right way. How about you and I today? When you find your parents, brothers and sisters going in the way of death, how great an effort have you made to guide them to the way of life? How much more have you asked them to go the way of life and salvation and prayed for them with burning love from your inner hearts? You know, sometimes, you know, members, you know, they are coming to receive prayer from me with their parents' picture, you know, when they are in the last stage of cancer, and I ask them, why you did not evangelize your parents? Of course, you know, they said they did, but they did not listen to them. You do not give any faith to them. You cannot any trust to them as children. You know, even me, you know, when I explained to my parents about God, and they agreed, they, you know, when I was healed and I told my mother that I was healed, so I told about God to her. Then, you know, she immediately accepted the Lord. She never denied. Of course, at that time, I was a very new believer. You know, God saved her, so I'm really pleased. How can't you evangelize your parents? And they just go to the way of destruction, death. How you cannot lead them to the Lord? You know, though you receive prayer from me, but they are in the last stage of cancer when they do not have any consciousness. You know, they are really, you know, like, for example, the blind. When he came to Jesus, you know, he got eyesight. Have you loved and prayed for them unchangingly, although they persecuted and teased you instead of receiving the gospel? Have you abandoned the possibility of change or being negligent of your duties toward them despite saying that you have committed everything to God in prayer? It is the same as the case with the church departments and mission organization you belong to. What did you do when you saw your seniors and leaders committing unlawful acts? Above all else, you should not reveal to others or gossip about their errors if you love and honor them. Proverbs 17:9 warns us, "He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." When they make some mistakes that are not apparent untruth, if you judge them and gossip, how far you are away from goodness and love. Even if your leaders go the way that is against God's will, if you gossip about their offense again and again, it never helps the works of God to be fulfilled. Rather, it will be the grounds for Satan's accusations. If you draw back saying it is not your business, it is not goodness either. If you just watch God's words going wrong without action, it is not showing love for God. You know, when you say something, you have to consider whether it is really good to fulfill God's kingdom. You know, many people, you know, they do not consider what they see. You know, many years back, during the seminar for the servants of the Lord and the church workers, I really asked them, you know, as a senior pastor, you know, I asked them to call me either senior pastor. You know, but you know, many people, they do not obey me. They, what they want, you know, they just call me, you know, in that way, so that many people misunderstand about me. You know, like if you say in this way, oh, this one is trustworthy, then I can say this one to this one. But you know, it is that you give a room to Satan to walk. You know, I mentioned if you just watch God's words going wrong without action, it is not showing love for God. You should reflect on yourself in such matters. Even now, I remember, you know, so many members, you know, though you know, they call me, oh, senior pastor, oh, father, you know, but you know, when our church had a leadership problem in 1998-99, you know, they simply left the church. No one told about them they are wrong. You know, when your brothers and sisters commit sin, you encourage them not to sin, stop sinning. Then if your brothers or sisters, those who are committing sins, bring another one and let him hear witness. But if still they do not listen, and you tell the church, you know, when you listen, it is wrong, then you can encourage them not to do it, because the Bible says, if you ask me, I could explain, and then that they could have chance to repent. No one told me, even my family members. Our Father God says, you always followed goodness, that's why I added to you power and a part of God to accomplish God's will. God is adding me part of God. You know, at that time, you know, so many evil ones, they spread wrong rumors. So I was very sad. So, you know, I asked them to collect letters, what they spread wrong things. And I gave evidences. And I explained about it with witnesses. But how come? You know, I instantly explained. You know, then I got blamed from the Lord. You know, you should not tell from the holy pulpit, and forgive all of them, and I think about it, benedictions for them. Oh, sorry, blessings that you will receive. If you pass over some errors because you feel uneasy about your seniors, or because you are afraid of loss caused by your words, it is not a duty towards your seniors, nor is it goodness in God's sight. You know, of course, you know, you should not give any discomfort to your seniors, but, you know, of course, you know, you have to pray, and of course, you know, with love. What then shall we do in goodness? More than anything else, you should have the courage to speak the truth without fearing the loss. You must possess the wisdom of goodness to give advice to your seniors or leaders without offending them and without shunning your duty. Truth knows truth. If you give them advice with goodness and in love and service, they will not feel offended but listen to your words. If you prevented your seniors, colleagues, brothers, and sisters from sinning and encouraged them to live in truth, you will gain the souls with your goodness and be rewarded in heaven. James 5:19 and 20 say, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. You know, if you think in this way, oh, this one has sinned, so I have to keep him away. But you know, this is not good heart. You know, you have to encourage them to stop sinning. Then, let me read it again. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. I have done my best to stop the flock from sinning and persuade them to live in truth because I love them. I have taught them the good will of God the Father from the pulpit and showed the clear evidences testifying to the word. I always taught you goodness. I never taught you about bad things. You know, I always, you know, gave clear evidences testifying to the word. You know, as God loves me, you know, to live in the truth and to become holy. You know, though you know you made mistakes, so for example, you know, like a traffic accident and of this sort of things, how you are kept safe by God. You know, even in this morning service, you know, I told you that this also happened, the fire, great fire in the mountainside, but you know, our members' housing, it's only, you know, among the great fire, it was kept safe. Nevertheless, I have not been satisfied with what I have done, and I prayed for each of them day and night until now without stop. When they need actions of my love, I served them with the need these so that they can run a race of faith without committing sins. If I could stop them from sinning with loving care, I would take good care of them with all my might. If it is possible with charity, I gave them charity money to prevent their sins. Regarding charity, I gave them more money than they need. For example, if they need 1,000,000 won, I gave them more than 1,000,000 won. That's because I'm afraid that they may spend all the money I gave them on their knees and do not give its tithe to God due to their weak faith. So I give them more money than needed so that they can give the tithe. Sometimes some of them continue to sin, although I have tried my best to help them live in truth. How do you think I feel toward them? Do I keep myself away from them? No. I think of what I should do to show love and mercy on them. Some of them commit unforgivable sins. I put such souls in my mind and ask God to forgive them with an immeasurable love transcending justice. When I put them in my heart in prayer, my energy runs out because of mourning, and my heart suffers greatly. You know, for example, when God tells me about one soul who will leave behind during the 7 years great tribulation, and I really cry on this person and pray for this one. It is really, really hard to be martyred in this 7 years great tribulation time, because you know the torture is so severe. you know, though I petitioned to God, they cannot turn back because they already, you know, committed the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Then even for me, I can't do anything. You know, like these family members, they come and ask a prayer. You know, but I don't know what to say because I know this one is already destined to hell. But even though it is, I really petitioned for this one. I have not eluded the pains of childbirth only. If I could save one more soul and I could prevent save the souls from sinning again and help them continue their way of life. You know, you have to be alert to the time of, you know, second coming of our Lord Jesus is very, very near. Last week, you know, God told me in which year, in which date, I'll have to enter Israel to spread the gospel. Even the date, God told me. When I firstly enter Israel to spread the gospel. That is the last station to spread the, to bring the gospel back to Israel. It is goodness to try one's best to stop his loved ones from sinning and going the wrong way. You know, though I do not want to talk about certain, you know, sins, you know, in this pulpit, but I have to do it because, you know, I'm giving them chance to repent. Of course, you know, I really want to say only happy words and only, you know, that glorious words in this pulpit. But, you know, sometimes I really have to tell so that, you know, many souls will repent and come back to the Lord, then they can be saved. You know, I'm very sad when I talk about, you know, this kind of, you know, sinning things. Dear brothers and sisters, the third goodness we can learn from Jonathan is that he fulfilled his duty to his father to the end. Good people want to turn their eyes from the sin where someone commits a sin and to keep themselves away from wickedness. Still more, good people suffer greater pains when they see their family and loved ones sinning. Although Jonathan suffered many pains because of his father's weakness, he did not abandon his duty towards his father. Through the goodness of his own good heart, Jonathan discerned the good from the evil of his father's deeds. Jonathan knew God had already forsaken his father's soul. He anticipated what would happen to his father if he stayed with the evil one who was abandoned by God. But he never left his father. In the end, he drew his last breath with his father while they were engaged in war against the Philistines. Jonathan was with his father in everything, whether death or life, not leaving his father. He fulfilled his duty to his father. It was goodness. Here, you must not misunderstand one point. It is not good to be with the evil ones that God has forsaken to the end, considering it as right duty. Jonathan knew the wickedness of his father Saul and advised him not to sin time again and again. Jonathan was with his father as a son to the last moment because he could not just watch his father going the way of destruction. He did not do it because he joined in the wickedness of his father, nor was he ignorant of his father's wickedness. He did it because he fulfilled his duty as a son. I hope none of you will consider it to be goodness to remain with someone to the end who doesn't realize his own great sins and is unwilling to turn away from simply following his duty. Dear brothers and sisters, recent news reported the number of divorces in Korean couples has decreased for the first time in 16 years. They got married once, vowing to share their love eternally, but they came to divorce each other without solving the problems in their marriage. 2 years ago, the number of divorcing couples was 167,000, and last year it was 140,000. I'm talking about Korea. Am I talking about other countries? No. It happens in Korea. You know, before, you know, our ancestors, their marriage was were arranged marriage by their parents. Though it was arranged marriage, the divorce rate was very, very low. Though they did not date, knowing they did not know each other before marriage. You know, like confirming, like whether you like the your spouse and your spouse whether he or she like you, love you. Then you know when you confess that you love each other, then you know you can talk about marriage. You know, then you married. Then why you divorce? Why? Why are you telling that you have a problem, like you do not have the same similar characters, but not similar personality? Of course, you know, you are very different because two of you couples, you know, you've grown up in a very different circumstances. That's why you have to be very different characters, personality, you know, some things. Some you know, they give excuse in this way. Maybe wife is a member of a Manmin church, and husband is loving the world and worldly things, and giving hard time to his wife, you know, not to go to the church. You know, if your husband say in this way, this voice is from the Lord or Satan. Okay, you know, the husbands should be like, you have to be saved, and also, you know, your wife, even your wife, you know, if you want to lead her to destructive way, it is not right. And 1 Corinthians 7, 12 to 13 give us a clear answer. Are there any of you who has thoughts of divorce because your spouse did not have the same religion? You do not need to have a counseling from others. You know, the Bible clearly answer. So you can refer to the Bible. You know, when you listen about the blessings, in which chapter and in which book in the Bible, you have to know, you have to remember. That's why, you know, to memorize Bible verses is important. You know, though you do not remember all the verses, you know, of course, you know, you have to know in which chapter or which book in the Bible. You know, the Bible is the Word of God. That's why you need to get the answer from the Bible. And if you ask me in this way, why am I sick? You know, the Bible tells us why you are sick. And I know, how can I explain this long? Even in the evening time before I leave, you know, about an hour, I have to meet members. You know, if you ask me, you know, to tell me something about, you know, about sickness or several things, you know, in this short time, how can I answer? You know, some members, you know, on the way to the church, you know, some members, they ask me, they want to stop my car and ask me to pray. It is not right attitude. 1 Corinthians 7, 12 to 13 give us clear answer. To the rest, I say this, I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. Okay, the husband and the wife. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. The reason is explained in the following verse 14. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife. For example, when the wife leads the husband to the Lord, he can be sanctified. And the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. You know, if you divorce, you know, your children, they will not be happy. They may be suffering. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. If both of them are saved, you know, their children also can be faithful Christians. So please meditate the Word of God. And some, you know, they give this, like this counseling. You should not divorce because the Bible says it is a sin. If we give counseling in this way, you know, this verse tells us if she or he is willing to live with, then of course you should not divorce. But, you know, in this case, like a husband or wife, you know, stop you to go to church, you know, just choose one, either maybe God or me, then whom will you choose? If you are going to hell, but God wants his children to be saved. God does not want his children to go to hell. So in case if your spouse wants to live with you, but you know, if your spouse wants to live with you, of course you have to live with him or her. But in case if your husband or wife, you know, stop you to go to church, but you know, if you can overcome this hard time, though you are beaten, if you can save your husband or wife, you know, considering your children, of course, you know, it is good to live together. That is great love. You know, though you are beaten, if you can save your husband, how, you know, you have a great reward. But in case if you really cannot live as a Christian, as a believer, you have to leave the church, then of course, you know, you have a clear answer. These verses teach us that a husband or a wife should not divorce from his or her partner. If the partner wants to stay in the marriage, for the partner might be evangelized even if he or she does not live in faith now. Sometimes different cases do happen. A husband or a wife can be so weak that he or she will not receive the gospel, but also drives the believing spouse into such a difficult situation that he or she cannot be saved. In this case, it may not be good to be with a weak partner to the end. I hope you do not misunderstand. When you do not misunderstand, you know, you will. You will choose wrong. So, you know, please meditate on it very, very clearly. But when you think you cannot be saved because you are with your spouse, like choosing your spouse rather than choosing God or church, if you really have to leave God or church, you know, of course, you know, you better not, you know, choose your spouse. Then in this case, you know, what is the goodness? What is, you know, that God wants? You think about it. So please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. If you misunderstand it, you will have a problem. I'm not saying you have to divorce, but you know, of just follow the Bible verses. Let me conclude. Dear brothers and sisters, we have looked into three kinds of goodness of Jonathan. First, Jonathan had the goodness to follow God's will without consideration of any of his own desires. Second, he did his best to stop his loved ones from sinning. And third, he fulfilled his duty to the end. Let me add some cases. If you if you really, really have to divorce, you know, you have to live separate. And then you will have time. You will have time. You will have time to pray for your spouse. And you will have time to reconcile with your spouse when the separation period. Then, you know, you will think, you know, oh, divorcing is not right. So, you know, maybe you may realize in this is separation time before you divorce, and you can see yourself before divorce. If you really, really have to divorce, you know, you better separate first, and then you pray for each other, and you will get chance to reconcile. You know, Jonathan had a very good heart. You know, that's why, you know, he did not live with his father, but he never agreed his with evil deeds. But he did not leave his father. That is a true goodness. One more thing we have to realize is that our sins may become a big burden and pain to those who love us. Who will feel the pain most greatly when you sin or have evil in your mind? He is our Father God and our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us to the utmost. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Jesus our Lord was crucified to gain forgiveness for us. But how can we cause our Lord and the Holy Spirit to mourn by committing sins again? You know, if you let the Holy Spirit mourn for you, you know, you will have minus points, because, for example, you know, you trust someone, but, you know, this one betrayed you, so your relationship is broken. Then though, you know, this one comes back to you, this, you know, broken relationship, you know, for this relationship to be recovered, it takes a time. If you know the love of the Father God from the heart, we must not give our Father pain, but become His children to please Him. 1 John 5:18, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. The enemy Satan and the devil cannot touch us, and even if trials come upon us, the enemy devil will leave us, and we can be prosperous if we believe in the living God and completely rely on His power. You know, if we commit sins, we are not from God. For example, you know, some people, you know, they commit sin and they come to me in a counseling, and I ask, why did you commit this sin? Then they answer, oh, I did not know that it's a sin. Though, you know, I teach, you know, every time with the Word of God, you know, if you do not realize, you know, that you committed a sin, then afterwards you did not know that you committed a sin, then you did not keep the Word of God in your mind. You know, of course, you know, you will know through the Word of God what is a sin, what is acts of the sinful nature. then you know, you say, oh, I did not know that is the way of destruction. Do you think these ones have faith? If you have a faith, no, you will love God and you will have a hope for heaven. Today, one family members came to my office and they gave a testimony. And her husband, he had a bleeding in his brain, but you know, he was healed. And her mother-in-law, she also was healed, and also, you know, all family members, they were healed. And let me talk about, you know, her father-in-law. He loved me. Before God took his soul, he had the two experiences. He had experienced two times that his spirit came out of his body and saw heaven through his vision. But you know, his dwelling place in heaven. He did not find his dwelling place in heaven. So, you know, his family members, you know, they gave offerings for him. And afterwards, you know, he experienced this out of body. He went to heaven in his vision. Whoa, our senior pastor gave me one key among many keys. That is for my dwelling place. These keys are so wonderful. Among many keys, you know, he gave me one key. And did he say his dwelling place? It was a private house. And then he was so joyful because he saw heavens in his vision twice, and even he saw his dwelling place in heaven. And he really loved me, and finally he passed away. You know, from his dwelling place from paradise, because he did not see his dwelling housing in heaven. That is, his dwelling place was paradise, but you know, he saw a private house, that is the second kingdom of heaven. So I'm wondering how could he upgrade it. You know, after he saw heaven through his vision, you know, his Christian life had totally been changed. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. You know, our members are kept safe. Though you did not accomplish spirit, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, Abraham and Lot and Lot's daughters. Because of Abraham, Lot was kept safe. And though, you know, the widow of this widow's feet, her family members, they were saved. You know, in a 3.5 year drought, you know, these family members, they were saved. And what about Rahab? She did a good job. That is, she helped the man of God. That's why, you know, her whole family members, they were saved, though they were Gentiles. You know, it is like you are sheep of Mammon, members of Mammon. That's why, you know, you are kept safe. That is, the evil one cannot harm you. Now, before I mentioned about the fire, which happened in Yangyang in Gangwon-do. You know, the member of Mammon, he prayed in this moment that, you know, the great fire attacks the area where he is housing there. You know, God saved them. Only his housing were kept safe. But you know, temple, Buddhist temple, you know, this holy burns, even the very big iron rings melted by the fire. How, you know, it was a serious imagine. Even in this very big fire, the housing of a mummy member was kept safe. I hope each of you will encourage and urge each other to advance toward life, spirit, and whole spirit in the flow of spirits and be filled with love. Therefore, I pray in the name of our of the Lord, all of you will accomplish the perfect goodness so that you can join the parade of glory and the blessing God has prepared. Let's pray, considering this message. Father, thank you very much for your grace, love and grace. Lord, please help members so that it will become power and life. As they listen about goodness of Jonathan, please help them to live and to accomplish this kind of goodness. Let them get rid of weakness and sin. As Jonathan, he did not stand on his father's side, but he stood on David's side because he had a good heart. But he petitioned his father not to sin again, though he had troubles because of that. He did not leave his father, even though he had evil deeds. He followed his duty as well. Lord, we have to learn about his goodness. Lord, please help them not to misunderstand about goodness. Giving thanks, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Though his father is a king, and though he has possibility to become the next king, he just followed the will of God. He petitioned his father not to sin, and neither he left his father. Because Jonathan just followed the goodness. So we have to know what is goodness. You know, many members, you know, they confessed to me that they love me. They simply left our church. Please, if you are joining this live service through internet, please discern what is goodness and what is from God, what is from Satan. And please come back to church. You have to come back, please. Pray for the sick. Put your hands on your chest if you have a desire. I'm from Dubai. Two prayer requests. One from John Korean, Elder John Korean. The other one, let me read it. From Johnny Kim. I greet you in the name of the Lord. This is a really meaningful Sunday. I really congratulate on your 31st spiritual birthday. I'm doing well here in Dubai. I talked about oil production in Mr. So-and-so's office in the Middle East. Their culture and our culture is different. When they're going to give detailed information, and there will be one consultant regarding the GSM way. And one project is going well. And the President Jamal's health is not good. And he's willing to receive a prayer from you on the picture. And he was very pleased that he can receive a prayer from you, Dr. Lee. He had diabetics and over tiredness. And so he's trying to run his business in a prosperous way. And I told him about you. He confessed that you're like his father. And is planning to run certain trade to the States. I'll keep on praying, and we'll find the way that God prepared. See you soon. From Johnny Kim. Elder John Korean, he is going to receive prayer in this service. Let's pray together. Put your hands on your sick parts and put your hands on your chest if you have a desire. Hallelujah, Father. Please lay your hand on them. Give them power, power, power. Beyond time and space, please work on them. Please be all the service attendants from all over Korea and all over the world. Please be with all your children, those who are joining this live service. Give them power, power, power. And please lay your hand on Elder John Korean as he requested the prayer. Please lay your hand on his picture beyond time and space. Please work on him. Father, as he lost everything, and he had a problem with his business partner, and he's having financial difficulties, and for the problem, please. And she lost her job. And my family, we believe that God will work on us. We are going to receive prayer from you in the 3 o'clock service. Father, please lay your hand on Elder Chun Korean and solve his problems as they are receiving prayer by faith. Please work on them. Father Almighty God, please work on them. Please grant his wishes. Father, please work on him. Please help him to gain what he lost again. Please save him from his financial difficulties and please bless him financially. Please work on him. Please touch the others' hearts, those who took his properties. Let them return all these things to him, Father. Beyond time and space, please work on Elder John Korean. Please answer his prayers. Please receive glory through him. And from the Middle East, one son, he is going to receive prayer. Thomas, please work on him. Lay your hand on Mr. Jama. Please lay your hand on him. I put my hand on his picture. Lord, please lay your hand on his picture as well. And the diabetes and overtiredness, you go away. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, you diabetes and overtiredness, you go away from him. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, let it be cleaned. And his internal organs and cells and be cleaned. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, be cleaned. Let the light come upon him. Father, please work on him with your power. Diabetes, overtiredness, go away. And please burn with the fire of the Holy Spirit and lay your hand on him. Please bless him. Father, please work on him and receive glory through him, from him. Please let his path be straight. Father, we thank you. We all members of Mammin, please work on them. Let them be strengthened physically and spiritually and by the fire of the Holy Spirit and God's great creational power. Be cleaned and be strengthened and let the light come upon them. Be strengthened physically and spiritually. Please work on them and please lead them and let their path be straight throughout the week. Whatever they drink, whatever they eat, Lord, please help them to give you glory. Let them confess then that I receive blessings in this way, and please keep them from Satan, and please keep them with the flaming eyes and by the fence of the Holy Spirit, and keep them all branch churches and all the service attendants through internet from the world. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.